Good morning and welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. I'm Jeff Snyder and this is BRN AM for Thursday, November 12th, 2020. And here are our top stories. What advisors are doing to help clients prepare for election results and advisor diversity is still awful. Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is Jason Biznoff. He's a wealth management journalist for Forbes Media. Jason, thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Good to be on, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So we've made it through, we think, this election, although the votes have to be certified and counted, and there seems to be some legal things that have to happen. But all things point to we're reaching a conclusion. But I know you've done a lot of research talking with advisors who are trying to help position their clients for the future. What can you tell us here?
Well, it's an interesting limbo period we're in, seemingly repeatedly. For now, the blue wave did not seem to materialize, and a lot of people have been preparing for a higher tax regime and for a lot of substantive change that, depending on the outcome in Georgia, may or may not come to pass. The big thing is that the industry was kind of prepared for this reality where there was a trade-off of higher regulation, higher taxes, but also this influx of stimulus, which was an exciting development with months of stalling of stimulus in Congress now. So obviously, while it seems that Election Day has come to an end, we've gotten some clarity. Control of the Senate still seems to be somewhat up for grabs. So as much as the story I wrote covers a lot of the possibilities of what the election could mean for financial services, some of that is still to be determined, though it is clear that even a Democratic majority in the Senate would be razor thin. So some of the more robust taxing schemes, some of the more robust regulation schemes would have to fit into a 50-seat margin. So it would also make it a little more strenuous to do larger lifts. But it is pretty clear that we are probably going to be facing a regime change. And with that comes changes that financial services do have to pay attention to either way.
Now, Jason, one of the things I think you and I have talked about in the past, ESG is something that has been not just a trend, but a wave in a way. I mean, you've seen trillions and trillions of dollars flow into ESG. We did see a regulation from the Department of Labor kind of reordering the priorities for fiduciaries around ESG. Do you think that ESG, what are you hearing from financial advisors? Are they even more committed to ESG now? Are they still taking a wait and see approach?
Yeah, I mean, considering that ESG continues to grow and even grew under a Trump administration that was not exactly bullish on it, I think the fact that President-elect Biden is going to be someone who is going to not be putting in the regulations or pursuing the regulations that impact ESG the same way, I think ESG is not going anywhere, and I think it will continue to grow. I think it really is a groundswell of support from investors. And, you know, it is a bottom-up reality. And so I think that it only stands to, it has grown in a with headwinds in the last 4 years. Now that it will have tailwinds, I expect it to only continue to more robustly grow.
And you mentioned, I recall you mentioning stimulus. That's a big part that I think we're all waiting for what the government could do. Although we had a big jump in the stock market yesterday, there's still a lot of people without jobs, a lot of small businesses that have yet to reopen or are challenged, even if they are reopened. What are the prospects for stimulus given a new, potentially new administration and different complexion of the House and the Senate?
Well, I think that was one thing that as much as financial services was weighing if there were regulatory changes or if there were tax changes, which may not be something they were excited about in a Biden administration with a unified Congress, I think stimulus was something they were very excited about, a robust stimulus, which in the story I wrote pre-election, which obviously, you know, has some basis in what ended up coming to pass and obviously somewhat missed the boat because the blue wave was expected. One thing they were very excited about was this robust stimulus because more than anything, advisors and CIOs were looking at a situation where COVID was still the main story as far as the market was concerned. which is pretty crazy considering that this was a pretty contentious election, an election that was covered with a ton of bandwidth and a ton of energy and a ton of attention. It still all comes down to COVID. And I think you nailed that on the head, that when push comes to shove, getting past COVID is still going to be the number one challenge of the Biden administration incoming. And I think that is ultimately going to be the thing that the market is more interested than anything else political. And I think that, you know, that's one thing that's tough to separate in this last week that you spoke of, with new highs being reached in the market, is yes, there was certainty coming out of the election and the market loves certainty. But that being said, there was also this big news from Pfizer. So it is kind of tough to separate. There are several variables here of what made the market so excited the last week. But I guess it could be more than one thing, that, you know, you can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Yeah, let's hope. Last question for this segment, Jason. When you're talking to financial advisors, you know, we always, when we're thinking about wealth building and retirement and financial planning, you're always looking at the long term. Are you hearing a lot of people saying we really need to reposition portfolios, or are they saying more, are financial advisors saying that long-term approach still works whether we have a President Biden or a President Trump or a Congress that is made up in a certain way or a Senate that's made up in a certain way?
Well, that is the thing that seems to be the million-dollar question, because when you speak to financial professionals, they are often quick to say that the economy is not based on a president, regardless of what the president may say about their control in the economy. It is not controlled by a president. And the disconnect I see is someone who, you know, obviously is watching the major broadcast networks like everyone else on an election night, but also is speaking with these financial professionals. The financial professionals are saying that, you know, the economy is out of the hands of the executive branch, while voters are leaving poll sites and saying in exit polls their number one issue of voting for a president is the economy. So there is some disconnect, that a big part of a great economic plan, of a great financial plan, as far as advisors are concerned, I don't consider myself qualified to say this, but as far as they're concerned, is really sticking to a plan regardless of the political winds. Obviously, there are small changes around the margins. You see a day, a week like this week, where some of the stay-at-home stocks, so to speak, the Amazons, the Pelotons, went down a bit as people say, oh, if Pfizer's vaccine is ready, we're going to be leaving the house a bit more. But those are changes around the margins. Overall, these are larger movements that are, you know, like moving a freighter. This isn't a speedboat.
Yeah, very good analogy. That is absolutely true. Well, Jason, I want to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about diversity in the financial planning and wealth management industry with Jason. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy. Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 yeah. years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you got to start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're going to change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
Hi folks, Joe Namath here, and if you're on Medicare, this is important. You're now entitled to eliminate copays and get dental care, dentures, eyeglasses, prescription coverage, in-home aids, unlimited transportation, and home-delivered meals, all at no additional cost. Plus, your zip code may have coverage with the Give Back benefit that adds money back to your Social Security check every month. Look, with the uncertainty of the virus and vaccines, you need to get everything you're entitled to. Here's the bottom line. Call to get significant benefits at no additional cost and see if your zip code has coverage with the Give Back benefit. Millions of people have trusted the Medicare Coverage Helpline. You can too. Call now. It's free.
Call 1-800-924-3920. That's 1-800-924-3920.
Welcome back. We're talking to Jason Bisnoff of Forbes Media. Jason, thanks so much for staying with us this morning.
Happy to be here.
So let's switch from the tumult of the election and what that means for financial advisors and clients. And let's talk about diversity in the financial planning and wealth management industry. Up to this point, there really hasn't been a lot of diversity where you've had a lot of women, people of color, other ethnicities in the business. You did a lot of research on this. What can you tell us?
Honestly, it is stark. We're in a year 2020 where obviously diversity and representation has been at the forefront, which is a good discussion we are having. But part of that discussion is difficult, where you kind of find that the state of things as they are is upsetting. Wealth management is definitely not the apex of this problem or the place where this problem originated, but it is not immune to these larger societal forces that make representation not equal. And speaking to some financial advisors of color who are incredibly accomplished, have worked incredibly hard and are still facing these obstacles is really eye-opening. And it is eye-opening also because the financial services space is such a key to equity in other arenas. You know, the racial wealth gap is something that continues to plague this country, and having equal representation in a place like wealth management could serve to benefit so much beyond just its boundaries. And so seeing that these challenges are there and seeing that despite the experiences of some of these advisors, that they are hopeful in this moment is eye-opening, is obviously it does give you some hope, but also leads you to believe there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we have talked about, for example, women investors maybe needing to work with different types of financial advisors. But it isn't always the case that a woman prefers a woman or someone of color prefers a person of color. It really comes down to personal preference. But having a diverse workforce as a financial planning organization allows you to satisfy all different customers and all different customer needs.
Yeah, and I think that beyond that, I think, you know, like so much else, we were just talking about ESG in the last segment, which is largely powered by people who look like me, who are younger and in families of means are inheriting the power in the family. I think similar things with diversity. I think there's going to be a changing of the guard when the main decision makers are millennials, are Gen X, who are going to be off-put by walking into a room that is very that looks all the same. We are used to, especially in larger cities, being in rooms that are diverse. And so I think that it is, like a lot else in financial services, is kind of waiting for this changing of the guard, which is coming quickly. The wealth transfer is well underway, and it is the largest in human history.
Yeah, people are, to your point, boomers are retiring, and some are going to be eventually passing on. They'll be passing on their money to their heirs. And so those heirs, as you said, different generations will have different points of view. And I've always believed that when you build a team, Jason, you want differences of opinion. You want to eventually come to a place where everyone can agree on a path forward. But in terms of investment philosophies, in terms of culture, you want people of all varying beliefs because it gives you a better workforce, but also better ideas that you can put in front of your clients.
Yeah, and I think that really nails it. I think that it is often, when it's not done correctly, it is seen as this thing, you have to check boxes. But ultimately, having diversity in the room leads to, and we're talking about investments where different perspectives are often key to making the right decisions. Ultimately, it is very tough to fully cover the bases when internally you don't have different perspectives. Similar perspectives, people who grew up the same, people who are from the same area, are going to arrive at the same conclusions and going to have blind spots. So I think ultimately it has to shift to a place where it is seen as a strength. And speaking to advisors who have faced this uphill climb, who have faced having to work twice as hard, right now that isn't always the case. And right now it isn't, there isn't enough empowerment, and it isn't happening at all levels of the industry, where you need to not only increase the entry-level ability for different people from different backgrounds to enter the industry, you then also have to empower them to move up to the point where they're a decision maker. Because if you have decision makers who look different, who see things different, it is going to really strengthen your ability to serve all different types of clients in all different types of climates.
And we were talking about ESG in the previous segment, as you mentioned, and this is something that shareholders and people who are investors are looking at. They are looking at the complexion of workforces, the complexion of boards, the complexion of decision makers. I would expect that this trend will continue.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of tough to sell your client an ESG mutual fund in a room full of old white men. You kind of have to practice what you preach. And so if you're going to, which increasingly, you know, every firm on the street is increasingly offer more and more ESG capabilities, it's also going to come down to them to be acting in a way that is environmentally, social, society, and governance-wise responsible.
Yeah. Well, Jason, we're going to leave it there. Always a pleasure catching up with you. Great stories this week. We look forward to having you back on the program very soon.
Great. Thanks so much, Jeff. Take care.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest or someone you think we should talk to? Drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the news in retirement, markets, technology, personal finance, so much more, check out our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. So until tomorrow, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes.
Are you being audited, and do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Is the IRS threatening to take more of your money? Don't fight the IRS alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you negotiate your tax bill and reduce your stress. The IRS can freeze your assets and seize your bank accounts, but you can stop these IRS actions. The Tax Doctor will work with you using our years of experience to represent your case to help you get the best resolution under the IRS guidelines. Help is here to deal with the IRS to reduce your stress. We've handled thousands of cases, so we know what we're doing. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, do not call the IRS alone. Call a Tax Doctor now for a tax emergency analysis.
Call 800-224-6439.